Hi everyone, today we will be doing a new episode really that has just been long awaited. I haven't really posted anything, not even on my crime account, which I will soon be posting that I have completed yet another episode. I didn't log into my app for my podcast making for a while, so when I logged on, it showed all these stats from like every single week of how many people are listening to my podcasts or playing them, what app they're using, whether that's Spotify or Google Podcasts, etc. So I think it's deserved that I give another episode, and I know some people want to listen to my podcasts. So today I'm going to be talking about Madeleine McCann. Now, bearing in mind, it's a sensitive subject for some people, especially for those who have lost their children or their children have vanished, like Madeleine McCann. Some were found, some weren't. So it is a sensitive subject. So I hope that, sympathy is used well here. So yeah, I'm going to be surrounding this of Madeleine McCann, who was 3 year old, well, 3 years old when she was snatched by, well, reportedly snatched by someone from a holiday apartment 13, well, 14 years ago, since it's 2021. So we're going to be surrounding that, and we're also going to be talking about the timeline from 2007, mostly up to 2020. And we'll be talking through some theories surrounding what people's beliefs are and what actually happened, and the true account of it is something that no one knows yet. So, without further ado, let's begin, guys. Okay, so starting out from 2007, when this all began, Madeleine, on the 3rd of May, with her family, went to like a family resort in a way, at the, well, on holiday at the Ocean Club in Praia da Luz, Portugal. So when it all started, basically the children were at home with, well, by themselves really, in an apartment that was 100 yards away from the restaurant that her, well, their parents were at. So, because they were at dinner with a group of friends, they were in a complex, and so it weren't far away. So Madeleine and her younger brother and sister, who were twins, stayed in the apartment, which was only 100 yards away from the restaurant that they were at. Now, the adults, meaning the parents, had made up a rota system to check on all their children during the evening. And so when it was the turn of Kate McCann, she discovers that her daughter, Madeleine, had gone. And so the police were called, and staff and guests at the complex searched for her until daybreak. And border police and airport staff were put on alert, and hundreds of volunteers join efforts to find Madeleine in the following days. So from where the, well, where the actual, what's it called, restaurant was, it's not that far, because the complex entrance isn't that far away from the apartment either. It's literally across the road, so it's not even that far. So yeah, on the 12th of May, the McCanns say that they cannot describe the anguish and despair that they were feeling. And Portuguese police say that they believe Madeleine was abducted but is still alive and in Portugal. Whilst on the 26th of May, police issue a description of a man seen on the night of Madeleine's disappearance, possibly carrying a child, which obviously, we don't know what to think about that. It might just be some father putting, going home with the child, I'm not sure. But there are many explanations for that. Now, In June, a Portuguese police chief admits vital forensic clues may have been destroyed as the scene was not protected properly. So in July, British police send sniffer dogs to assist the investigation and the inspections of the McCann's apartment and rental car are conducted. So by August, 100 days since she had disappeared, investigating officers acknowledged that she may not find be found alive, and they said that publicly. As you can imagine how actually devastating it probably was for the parents at the time. So on this was later of the year anyway. So on the 6th of September, Portuguese police interview Kate McCann, which was the mother, as a witness on and on the 7th of September, detectives meet the couple Arguedas, and days later the McCanns return to the UK. Can't even speak today. Prosecutors later say that there is no new evidence to justify re-questioning them. So, you know, it's not seen as the parents, they haven't done anything wrong. People view that because of how much they were, like they said before, in anguish and despair. So they probably portrayed themselves to be in a lot of pain and sadness, which does affect the ways people see them. And so Gary McCann releases a video in November saying he believes that his family was watched by a predator in the days before his daughter's disappearance. And so no one really knows that for sure, but he did say that and he released the video. So I guess it's just the coming down to whether, you know, it was real or not. Like, you know, are they being paranoid? Are they just taking this way too seriously, meaning their theories? So it's mixed up here and there. Now, in 2008, on 20th of January, the McCanns released sketches of a suspect based on a description by a British holidaymaker of a creepy man seen at the resort. And then further down into April, Portuguese police fly to the UK to sit on interviews conducted by Leicestershire police of the McCann's friends they had dinner with on the night Madeline disappeared. And so on the 3rd of May, 1 year since the little girl's disappearance, Mrs. McCann urges people to pray like mad for her little girl. And by July, Portuguese police say that they have submitted their final report on the case. Weeks later, authorities shelve their investigation and lift the arguido status of the McCanns. So, by the time of 2009 and 2010, the police had realised that, you know, there was most likely no hope. Even when they decided, you know, to have a look and investigate it further, the picture that they were actually supplied with, there was a software that was able to make them look more grown up. And so at the age of six, they put that picture out to say, here, you know, anyone who sees or any possible sightings of Madeline, please come to the police and tell. And so, you know, a month later in April, Gary McCann says it's incredibly frustrating that the police in Portugal and the UK have not been actively looking for his daughter for a very long time. In November, the couple signed a publishing deal to write a book about Madeleine's disappearance. Now, that there to me seems a little bit sketchy. Why would you want, I mean, I know I certainly wouldn't, but my child to be put in a book because she went missing. Do you understand where I come from? So it's a bit sketchy there, and you know, I can understand it is incredibly frustrating. I mean, not that I understand that I've lost my child, but what I'm saying is, for a long time, the police have looked for her, and the moment they gave up is actually the moment they were still conducting the investigation, and they were still, handing out little police files here and there, making sure that anyone had seen them or not. So Madeline was remembered by everyone. So during 2011, that's when the book was released in May, and the Prime Minister David Cameron asked the Metropolitan Police to help investigate, as a 2-year review follows. In 2012, Detective Chief and, well, Inspector Andy Redwood tells an April broadcast of the BBC's Paranorma his team is seeking to bring closure to the case. A computer-generated image of what Madeline might look like aged 9 is released. A day before, Portuguese authorities say they're not reopening their investigation. So because it is like a different side of like the world or whatever, it's hard to reopen an investigation for someone who isn't actually a citizen or actually living in that area. Now, anyone could have taken her, and there were most likely, different people who were, how do I explain it, who were around the area, and it's not precise whether in someone did abduct Madeline, but no one really knows for sure what happened. So in May, UK detectives actually who reviewed the case had a number of persons in interest, and by July, Scotland Yard announces that it has new evidence and new witnesses in the case and opens a formal investigation. By October, Scotland Yard detectives say that they have identified 41 potential suspects. A BBC Crime Watch appeal features ether images of a man seen carrying a blonde-haired child of 3 or 4 in the Praia da Luz about the time Madeline went missing. Now, Portuguese police reopened their investigation to run alongside Scotland Yard's, citing new lines of inquiry. Now, at the point in 2014, this is where it gets, real to many people. So Met police officers ended up digging in a few places where they believed, it's a risky area. Some people are just dumb enough to bury things there, and you can tell when the mud is actually dug up. So in January, detectives fly to Portugal and claims they are planning to make arrests. And further on in June, searches in Praia da Luz are carried out, including an area of scrubland sited southwest of the Ocean Club complex, and it yields nothing of interest. But a month later, 4 suspects were quizzed by police, but no new developments emerged, which meant that they didn't believe they had anything to find them on. So obviously, Madeline was 3 when she was missing in 2007. Moving on to 2015 to 2019, she's obviously going to be a lot older from then. And so, in 2015, September, the British government actually released the fact that the investigation has cost him more than £10 million. And in April 2017, the 4 official suspects investigated by the police are ruled out of the investigation, but senior officers say they are still pursuing a significant line of inquiry. In June 2019, the UK government says it will fund the Met Police inquiry, which began in 2011 until March 2020. Now, in 2020, which was a year later, in June, police revealed that a 43-year-old German prisoner named by German media as Christian B has been identified as a suspect. The McCanns thank police, saying all we ever wanted to find her, uncover the truth and bring those responsible to justice. We will never give up hoping in finding Madeleine McCann alive, but whatever the outcome may be, we need to know as we need to find the peace. German investigators have classed it as a murder inquiry and say they are assuming that Madeleine is dead. The UK's Metropolitan Police say it's received more than 270 calls and emails since a new appeal for the information was launched on Wednesday. So clearly here, you know, to do with the disappearance, it could be many things. It could be the abduction. It could be, like, it could literally be anything at this point. And because it's still a missing persons case, it's hard to judge whether she's still alive now. When having to make those pictures or, you know, photographs that are older than she actually is, and, you know, using softwares to try and make some of her features come out more prominently, you know, it's hard. I can understand it. And sometimes families need to have justice, others need to have just the knowing that the person has been caught, or the person is dead, or she's dead and that she didn't suffer as much. Because if, you know, some parents believe that if their child was dead and they didn't suffer with the torture, it's more not merciful, but it's more of a suitable death rather than being tortured to death. So that is a big case or side of it. So we're going to move on into the next segment of the theories that have been put out on, like, Reddit, all online. So we're going to go through those. Okay, so we're going to first get into, you know, after 12 years, £1 million worth of funding, we're still going to go into different theories of what happened. So a Portuguese detective named Goncalo Amaral believed and led the initial investigation, believed that the McCanns were involved in their daughter's death, and then covered up the crime by disposing of her body and staging a break-in. So then others decided to put into this and say they believed it. Others backed it up with evidence claiming that, you know, it was wrong, it was invalid. So no one exactly knew whether this was right or wrong at the time. The McCanns were named as suspects in the case in September 2007. After specially trained blood and cadaver dogs raised the alarm, both in the holiday apartment and in the boot of a rental car hired by the couple weeks after Madeleine's disappearance. However, DNA testing at both spots subsequently failed to match Madeleine's, and the McCanns were dismissed as suspects in July 2008. So, yet her parents are still viewed as suspects by some armchair detectives. So you can tell instantly that these detectives were so bothered about having this case on their hands for many, many, many years. And this is the most popular explanation put towards the fact of what happened to her. So what is said that the McCanns had actually sedated their children to ensure that they would stay asleep whilst the adults were out to dinner, and that Madeleine died of an overdose or an adverse reaction to the medication whilst they were out. So the theory had actually been rubbished by Sky News crime correspondent Martin Brunt, who says it's hard to believe that seemingly loving parents and trained doctors would choose not to raise the alarm but instead dispose of their daughter's body and have the means to do so without a car and in a foreign country before joining friends for dinner as though nothing happened. So Martin's got a point there. Why do it in another country where, you know, you don't know the consequences, you don't know the best spots for it, you don't know where to go, where people aren't around? So neither the initial investigation nor the Scotland Yard's inquiry had ever found any evidence to implicate that the McCanns were in the wrong at this point. So I can fully understand why they basically scrapped it. It just doesn't make sense, especially for people who seem so loving, and it's definitely unexpected if it was. So we're gonna move on to a burglary gone wrong, okay? So some believe Madeline may have been snatched after waking up and disturbed by intruders. And reports on the Daily Telegraph note that there had been a fourfold increase in the number of burglaries. I can't even say burglaries. In Praia da Luz in the months running up to Madeline's disappearance. So the rear patio doors had been left unlocked, which would have made the holiday flat an easy target for opportunistic burglars. If one or more intruders believed the apartment was empty, it's conceivable that they could have taken the girl in a panic after accidentally waking her up, and so they wouldn't know what to do with her, so maybe they disposed of her straight away. Another way of saying it is, such a spontaneous act is likely to lead to mistakes and a trail of evidence and detection, says Sky News's Brunt, who argues that the absence of any trace of the girl undermines the burglary gone wrong theory, which yes, I can agree again, because in a way, everybody leaves some form of evidence. Sometimes that evidence is a mark maker, maybe on a wall, to a little symbol that someone's painted or drew on a wall, or you know, sometimes people take trophies. I know that Jeffrey Dahmer did a few times. And so people see these as little trophies that they can keep. So that's like evidence for the police. And it's most likely that people did hear, especially if she was awake, did hear a child, you know, screaming. And if it was the alleged man that was carrying the little blonde girl, where were the other burglars? Where were they? As you know, it all ties together eventually, where with loads of questions that no one will ever know at this point. And so another theory suggests that Madeline died in a tragic accident after wandering out of the holiday apartment. The three around the Ocean Village resort where the family was staying was undergoing a lot of development in 2007, with multiple building sites nearby, as well as ditches, storm drains, and disused wells. This has led some commentators to speculate that she could have fallen to her death or come to some other mischance in the rugged terrain. So, others suggest that the toddler was struck by a car as she wandered along the poorly lit roads, and that the panicked driver almost, well, removed the body and dumped it elsewhere to cover their tracks. The theory has echoes of a similar lead in the case of Ben Needham, the 21-month-year-old British boy who vanished in 1991 while staying with his grandparents on the Greek island of Kos. And so in September 2016, police received a tip-off that a now-deceased local man had accidentally killed Ben while driving a digger near the Needham's house and then buried the body. And the relatives have basically said that, you know, they've just denied the claims and no proof has actually been found to corroborate the claims that were made against this man. And so this leads us to the next one, which is the stalker theory. So one particularly sinister theory is that Madeline was snatched by a stranger who had been watching her and her family whilst they enjoyed their holiday, and who struck when the McCanns left the children unattended. Now, supporters of this theory point to a string of sexual assaults on British girls on holiday with their families in the Algarve in the years leading up to Madeline's disappearance. So, the intruder targeted children aged between 7 and 10, breaking into holiday accommodations. And see, the intruder targeted children who were between 7 and 10, breaking into holiday accommodation to assault his victims before fleeing. The man was never actually identified. So the Daily Record reports that four witnesses saw an unidentified man hanging around the flat in Praia da Luz five times in the 4 days before McCann went missing. He was described as an ugly big-nosed man. The paper adds that two retired British detectives put together a portfolio of supposed evidence aimed at this proving theory, derived mostly from a 30,000-page report on the disappearance of Portuguese investigators. The two detectives linked the supposed stalker with two reported sightings of a man carrying a blonde child in his arms on the night McCann disappeared. So that one there is a very sinister type one. It's not one that you would expect, but this one seems more believable, probably because there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest it. There is evidence in the other claims as well, in the other theories, but I think the stalker one really fits in with the whole perspective. So the last one is human traffickers. Now, rather than being snatched by a lone predator, others believe that Madeline was stolen into order by a criminal gang. Private detectives in 2007 claimed they had uncovered evidence that human trafficking spotters could have been operating in Praia da Luz at the same time of the abduction. Their theory is that Madeline may have been hidden and handed over to a child trafficker 2 days after she went missing and taken to Morocco, the Daily Mirror reports. From there, she could have been smuggled to Mauritania, a hub for the trade in trafficked children. So many people believe abduction by a skilled human trafficking gang is the most logical explanation for how Madeline was able to vanish without a trace, and this was said by Sky News. So the McCann spokesperson, former BBC reporter Clarence Mitchell, says that this is his personal theory. A child was taken to order from that room, he told the Daily Telegraph last month. That was probably way after. But I'm believing the stalker theory more. Like I said, evidence to do with it. I wouldn't think it's an abduction. Maybe because Italy has a maybe because it has a bit of a reputation to proceed to do with like mafia and things like that. You know, you get the Italian mafia, the Russian mafia, things like that. And then obviously you get the gangs, the ones with the big guns. And so I don't think I believe as much in the abduction because there'd be no point in doing it in a local area where you'd be seen more. And if it was a criminal gang who basically took Madeline, why was there only one person holding her? Why was there no one else spotted around him? Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's the stalker one that really gets it. The parent involvement one doesn't really match up when they have been very sad the whole time, anguish and despair. There's been a lot of hate towards people, you know, kidnappers, murderers, people that have committed crimes, and so it's understandable at this point why they would still be so angry. Some people can't move on without that little light of hope that their child is out there somewhere. Some are able to do so, to move on, to not forget about them but remember them when necessary. And so that is an important fact between that. So yeah, that is pretty much the whole Madeleine McCann case. And obviously it's a pretty big case because it's because it's still unsolved. You know, there's people who are like this. There's murderers, thieves, kidnappers. There's people that are like this, and it just spreads awareness to those people basically saying, well, the police failed the system. They couldn't even, you know, get one single trace of Madeline. As you know, maybe Madeline, maybe she walked out, maybe she, because of her age at three, maybe she did, you know, find a way out or found someone who was trying to get her to come with them, maybe bribing her with some sweets or something, which is might sound cliche, but it's very common. And so yeah, that is pretty much it for the Madeleine McCann case. I hoped you enjoyed that roundup of the timeline and the basic theories surrounding it. So this is probably one of the episodes I will be doing this week. I'll probably be doing another one. If anyone would like to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is called The Morgue. And yeah, so I hope you have a good day, and this is another episode of The Morgue.